from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. $350 million, approximately, has been pumped into California's 11 ballot measures. And, well, you might ask, whose money and to what ends? This Forum segment, we look at political contributions here in California and, again, try to follow the money. Joining us in studio is Daniel Newman. He's president and co-founder of MapLight. They're a nonpartisan research organization that tracks money's influence on politics. Welcome, Daniel Newman.
Thank you, Michael.
Glad to have you here, and also glad to have Ann Ravel, who is chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission, and she's with us from Sacramento. Welcome, Ann Ravel.
Thank you very much, and nice to be with you, Daniel.
Well, good to have you both here. And Ann Ravel, I want to begin with you. Sacramento County Superior Judge Shelly-Ann Chang, we're right up on the news here, literally, because just yesterday ruled that voters would suffer if the California Fair Political Practices Commission was not allowed to investigate the group Americans for Responsible Leadership. And this is a group that had a whole question mark of $11 million. And let's find out from you where that $11 million was going, first of all.
The $11 million was going to a different PAC in California that is called the Small Business Action Committee PAC. And that PAC contributes both to No on 30 as well as Yes on 32.
No on 30 being the Governor Brown measure for taxes, and 32 being the it says corporations and unions, but tying political policy to union dues, essentially, or corporate money. Yeah,
right.
And so you can't really find out who's behind this money, and you're not going to find out, presumably, till after the election.
Well, we're going to try to find out before the election. We are going to file today, while the judge did order that today at 5 o'clock they turn over the records so that we could review them at the FPPC. The Arizona organization's lawyers basically said that they were not going to comply and they were going to appeal and that they weren't going to provide any information prior to the election. But we're going to try to force them to do that. And so today we're going to go to the Third District Court of Appeal and file some kind of a mandate in advance of the 5 o'clock deadline to make sure that the court does not issue a stay of the order.
Is there anything, Daniel Newman, other than this $11 million that is as shrouded in secrecy in terms of campaign contributions or contributions to the initiatives?
Well, I think this is the most egregious example. Some of these funds, it's not possible to tell yet the ultimate source.
But in this one, we really don't. I mean, it's just a big question mark that hovers over it. Let's talk about where the money is coming from, though, or let's just talk about the amounts first of all. I was looking through the ballot measures and realized that the most money actually that's been accumulated is Proposition 30, which we just mentioned, Governor Brown's proposal, which has raised over $61 million. On the no side, though, there's $52 million, so it's running neck and neck. But as you look down on these different ballot measures, which I'm sure you've done, it's Prop 38, the other tax measure, which runs the most money. So you've got these two tax measures right out in front here. And then coming in with $30 million raised on the pro side is Prop 39, taxes for multi-state businesses.
Absolutely, and that's almost exclusively from one person, Mr. Thomas Steyer, who's an investor.
There's a lot of money that's coming in to these measures from one person. I mean, Charles Munger and Molly Munger, not only Molly Munger on the ballot issue that's going against Governor Brown's issue, but proposition that Charles Munger is behind, 36, and that's the three strikes law. We've got money coming in from not only Tom Steyer, as you mentioned, but from George Soros back east to support the capital punishment, anti-capital punishment measure.
Right. Also, George Joseph, the chair of Mercury Insurance, for Prop 33.
In over $16 million on that.
That's right. So you take the top four individual spenders on this together, they've given $126 million just from four people. That's a third of all the money raised for all these 11 propositions just from four people.
And let's not forget the two Nicholases, Nicholas Berggruen, I think is actually how he pronounces his name, and Nicholas Pritzker. Berggruen has put the 2-year budget cycle has put a lot of money into that, and Pritzker had to end the death penalty. Actually, Soros' money, let me correct this, has gone into soften the three strikes law. So we've got individuals playing a preeminent role here like never before.
Absolutely. And then you have the traditional players, the business interests like Monsanto opposed to 37. You have union interests, of course, spending heavily against 32 and in favor of Prop 30. It's $350 million spent so far on these 11 propositions.
Yeah, the let's talk about Proposition 37. About $7 million, that's the genetically engineered foods, GMO labeling. And Ravel, the other side has actually, put up about, they got over $100,000 from the organic food people, but it doesn't even compare to Monsanto and those companies.
Right. No, that's true. There are a couple of the propositions that have that kind of uneven split in terms of Prop 38 is another one.
By the way, we, of course, have election coverage on all these, and you can find out about each of these measures by going to kqed.org/prop guide and get a thumbnail sketch as well as what's in all of these propositions. But maybe we ought to break them down, and we can do that with you, Daniel Newman, although we've talked about these on the air, and you can go to our archives and find out about them. The most money, again, is going into the two tax measures, so by far.
Yes, and also Prop 32. You have some of the same committees, the same donors on 32 are on the other side of Prop 30. So that's true of the unions. That's true of Charles T. Munger, Jr., spending in support of 32 in opposition to 30, and the unions are on the other side of that.
Well, let's also find out about – we did a program on the trafficking measure, which Chris Kelly supports. He's put over $2 million into that against sexual and human trafficking, slave trafficking. There is – I've seen the figures. There's nothing coming from the other side, literally.
Yes, it's a one-sided initiative in terms of the spending.
That, again, is human trafficking Proposition 35. Let's bring you, our listeners, in this. I know that many of you are eager to find out what money is being contributed and what the sources are of each of these ballot measures. And so you're welcome to join us. Our toll-free number is available, and it's 866-733-6786. We welcome your phone calls, and we welcome your questions or comments. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. Or you can, of course, go to our Facebook page or tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. The money kind of points out, we talked in the last segment about what's wrong with the system and the systemic problems here, and the money kind of points out not only how easy it is to get something on the ballot with the right number of signatures, and there's a problem there, but we could perhaps reduce the kind of problems we have with the initiative process by maybe making it not so easy to get paid signatures, which cost millions of dollars, but also maybe, making it more difficult to gather those signatures. I mean, in other words, bring down the cost and bring down the process itself. Daniel Newman?
Well, if you look back 100 years to the beginning of the initiative process here in California, that the idea was to have only measures getting on the ballot. There's substantial popular concern. And the signatures means if you got enough signatures from concerned citizens, that means it's worthy of being put to a vote. But now we have a situation with paid signature gatherers where any initiative can be qualified for the ballot with enough money. And on the flip side, as a volunteer effort, it's virtually impossible to qualify signatures. So I think there's several solutions involved. One is not having a pay per signature. So Governor Brown actually vetoed a measure like that last year, but not having paid per signature would make it more challenging for the paid gatherers to get it on the ballot, and also to lengthen the time it takes that is allowed. So right now it's only 5 months. That's shorter than almost every other state in terms of the time you have to collect signatures. If we lengthen that to a year, you'd actually have the opportunity for citizens-backed petitions collected by volunteers to have a chance.
So you could lengthen it or not make it as easy as it is within 5 months seems preposterous. And also, of course, the biggest problem of all is the state legislature, which doesn't seem to be able to get things through, especially because of two-thirds with taxes and so forth. If the legislature could get a lot of things through, we wouldn't have a lot of initiatives that are, in many instances, poorly written. And Ann Ravel, it's also only about a third of those ballot measures that actually get through. You're better off if you're putting money into the no side by far, aren't you?
Well, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, just from the perspective of what gets through as opposed to what doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
What you may know the answer to, or I think I suspect, in fact, I'm fairly certain you do know the answer to, is where money is going into the congressional campaigns and the assembly campaigns. Can you sort of give us some light on that and break that down for us?
Well, generally, there is, I know, about $20 million that has been spent on local legislative campaigns, that is, statewide legislative campaigns. The FPPC doesn't oversee congressional or senatorial campaigns. We only look at local for the state. But there's an enormous amount of money in independent expenditures this year, more than being spent by the candidates themselves for our state Senate and state assembly campaigns.
Again, we're talking about money going into campaigns, not only for measures, about $350 million to sway on ballot initiatives ahead of the November 6th election, but we're looking at the money that's behind all the stream of TV ads and campaign mailers that you get, and getting really the latest news, as we have, on state election officials identifying the source of that mysterious $11 million out-of-state contribution to pass Proposition 32 and defeat Proposition 30. And I want to mention again, for more on the ballot measures, you can simply go to kqed.org/propguide or go to our archives, kqed.org/forum. And please feel free to join us. We welcome your calls. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also tweet us. And our handle here at Forum is at KQED Forum. Daniel Newman with us in studio, president and co-founder of MapLight. They're a nonpartisan research organization that tracks money and influences money's influence on politics. And Ann Ravel with us by phone from Sacramento is chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission. Let's begin with our callers. And Kim, you're first up. Welcome.
Ah, thank you. And thank you for Forum. I'm, of course, a saturated voter. I've been listening, and I'm all these people who have all this money. You know, you got brother and sister, and they've got all this money. You know, why don't they just get on, have like single debates? You know, if you've got enough money to get an initiative on the ballot, then you should, you know, have enough time to stand up in front of an audience and debate the thing like the presidential candidates did. I'm completely flummoxed. I feel like I've got this huge homework assignment hanging over my head, and I really don't want to do it.
Well, you're probably expressing the sentiments of many voters who believe that they should indeed be informed citizens and exercise their franchise. And I thank you, Kim, for the call. It's frustrating, but the thing that's frustrating so many people is just how much money colors the operations here and the campaigns, Daniel Newman.
I think what the caller said about having to do our homework, like we all conscientious Californian voters are trying to figure out these 11 measures. We are the legislature essentially deciding to make the laws, but who decides what we're deciding on? excuse me. It's the wealthiest groups and individuals that are deciding what laws we get to vote on. Like, I would like to make a law. I'm sure your listeners would like to put up a law for the vote, but we can't do that. Only if we have the money can we do that.
Well, you can do grassroots. Yeah, you're going to say unravel?
Yes. I'd like to comment on this, too, because the caller brought up a really important point, and that is that before they cast their votes on measures in particular, most citizens don't have the time to read the text. The issues are very complex. And so what they rely on are cues to inform their votes. And the knowledge about who it is that's funding these measures is really significant. And that's one of the reasons why, while I understand and appreciate the concern about all the money from wealthy individuals, at least we know who they are. What we're concerned about more is because we can't do much about that, is the fact that we don't know who some of the donors are.
Well, yeah, we do know who a lot of donors are. For example, wherever you stand on Prop 34 to end the death penalty, it's significant to realize that about, well, over $1 million is coming in from New York on that. I mean, whether you're pro or con, and most of that money is in favor of the proposition, but it's not, it's out-of-state money. Let me go to more of your calls here, and not to mention $11 million that's being investigated vis-a-vis Arizona. Sackett is our next caller. Sackett, you're on.
Hi, Michael, and thank you for taking the call. I have two quick comments. One, I think, is that media is partially to blame because media is both the perpetrator and the beneficiary of campaign financing. Media is running everyday polls, and candidates and their supporters have no choice but to chase the performance and put more money towards it. And my second quick comment is, you know, let's take away the nonprofit status of these super PACs. You know, if mortgage interest can be on the chopping block as a tax loophole, why these super PACs with nonprofit status?
All right. I thank you for those two comments. Let's talk for a moment, though, about unravel the role of media here. I mean, the cost of these ads has a great deal to do with the money that pours in. I mean, you can't separate the two.
That's right. It's very expensive in California to run advertisements on media, both television and also on radio. And that certainly, together with consultants and all the others who work on the ads and on the political message, that accounts for some of the reasons that California initiatives and other campaigns have no rival in the entire country with how much is spent.
And yet, Daniel Newman, there was a feeling when the Internet started burgeoning that one could do grassroots campaigning, use the Internet, and it, you know, didn't necessarily require these huge sums or behemoth backers and donors.
Well, most communication with California voters happens through television. The Internet certainly plays a role. I think we could leverage that television, though, to require, for example, the lower third of the screen to have the top funders of each ballot measure right there in the ad, so voters actually have more information to evaluate the messages that they're hearing.
And we'll hear from more of our listeners, and we go to Alice next. Alice, join us.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that as an active member of the ACLU and a recipient of the Friends Commission, a Committee on Legislative Action, both have taken strong positions against Proposition 35, and memberships are in the probably, I'm guessing, for the ACLU, I know it's over 100,000. Perhaps for the Friends Committee, it's probably equal. So,
but you look at the money contributions, and there's a big zero.
That's right.
That's, again, human trafficking proposition.
Yeah. They're all giving to Yes on 34. But the real issue is to inform people how restrictive against free speech 35 is, and that it's really these wealthy individuals who can put up the kind of money they do to decide what legislation should be in California is abhorrent to me.
Yeah, well, I thank you for that call. And 34, again, is the anti-death penalty, and the ACLU is pouring some funds into that. They've always been opposed to the death penalty in California and elsewhere. And let me bring more of your calls in. Suresh, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yes, my comment was going to be about voter responsibility and following a process that we as individuals can implement that will sort of defeat some of the super PAC and negative ads. And the idea I thought was, you know, as a business guy, sometimes I'm selling, I sell software, and my customers have a silence period. They go through an RFI when they want listen to or talk to or go to lunch with the vendors. Similarly, what we have done in our family is we shut out all TV ads. We skip through them. We throw away all the flyers that come out from anybody, and we just focus on the legislative analyst's assessments. We go through a few editorials, and then I bring the family together. We have done the research. We talk for about half an hour or half an hour on 2-3 propositions through the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, and at least we feel that we are making judgment on the facts of the case without being emotionally influenced by all this. And that seems to work very well, and I guarantee it takes one-third the time or less than what people are spending watching all these TV shows and watching all these campaign ads and all that kind of stuff. So that's my comment. I think we can make a change right at that individual level if you do that.
Well, thank you. It's almost as if they're keeping themselves pristine. There's a suggestion for listeners to wrestle with. Sometimes the way these campaigns unravel, is you've got one candidate essentially pointing out where the money is going into the other candidate, and that becomes part of the whole negative syndrome that we see in campaigns and the way they're run.
Well, I don't think that's negative campaigning. There is a lot of negative campaigning, clearly, but the money and where the money comes from and who the financial interests are that are backing or opposing something in either a ballot measure or an individual, I think is important for people to know.
No, I'd agree with you, but sometimes there's a lot of impugning that goes along with the sources of the money or pointing out the sources of the money.
Yes, and one of the problems with independent expenditure money, that is, that's not from the candidates themselves or the committees themselves, is that they can run negative campaigns without any repercussion.
And we'll bring in more of your calls. Let me go to Sacramento. Kevin, join us. You're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point about Proposition 32. And, you know, there's a whole lot of money being spent on this. You know, some of it is coming from these shady Arizona groups, and some is coming from very rich individuals like Charles Munger. On the other side, the unions are spending a lot of money, and I just wanted to make the point. It's sort of use it or lose it for the unions.
Well, let me give you the figures on that. There's over $68 million that's been raised against the political contribution Proposition 32 and 59, about close to 59.5 on the pro side. So you can see that union money is very distinct in all that. Yeah.
It's huge, but the point that I wanted to make is that, you know, what this proposition would do is stop unions from making political donations, you know, for money that comes from their members.
Well, it would ban payroll deductions. It would ban payroll deductions to political action, yeah.
Right, which is the only way that unions get money to put towards political purposes, whereas corporations have profits to use. And so it's really, I mean, this is really a one-sided initiative, which is why unions are spending so much money, because it's, like I said, use it or lose it.
Yeah, it's written as being holding true for both corporations and unions, but it would certainly wound the unions to a far more serious degree. And let me thank you for the call. Here's Christine on our webpage who writes, "The only way to solve this problem is to reclaim our public airwaves. We the people own the broadcast licenses issued by the FCC. We should require that political messages be provided in limited quantity and free of charge. Then the need for all this money goes away." And Nancy writes, "What have the corrections officers union been up to this election? Have they been donating to the three strikes and perhaps capital punishment initiatives? They were so active in the past, hoping to fill up state prisons." Daniel Newman, what do we know there?
We don't see them as one of the top 25 donors involved here.
So taking, shall we say, a much lower profile. But what? Let's talk about where union and corporate money is most pronounced or most conspicuous.
Well, we have as the caller noted, the Prop 32 and also Prop 30, Prop 32, which you just summarized, Michael. And I think
do we know specific unions?
Oh, absolutely. So we have the California Teachers Association is the top contributor on No on 32 with $21 million, SEIU with $13 million, California Labor Federation at $6 million, and a group of other unions as well.
We mentioned before George Joseph and the Mercury Insurance Proposition 33, which would have rates based on personal history, and he's given over $16 million. But the California Nurses Association has given almost $1 million. I'm wondering what their interest is in this. Do we know?
The California Nurses Association, we don't see them as a major donor on that initiative, but we do. You talked about corporate money earlier. I wanted to point out, like Monsanto, for example, just one company has spent $7 million in opposition to the Genetically Modified Foods Labeling Act, and that's as much as all the supporters have spent combined. So there's a real imbalance there.
Am I seeing the wrong figures here about
yes,
the California Nurses Association?
On 33, the nurses gave our latest figures are they gave $97,500.
Yeah, that's Proposition 33 on car
right.
insurance rates. Why?
So much less than a million, about $100,000.
Yeah, so I say it was less than a million. I had the figures right, but Ann Ravel, why do we know why they're contributing that kind of sizable?
I don't know.
Okay, I'd be curious to find out. If anybody is listening from the Nurses Association, let us know. How much money is the Howard Jarvis Group spending? Do we know, and for what, Ann Ravel?
I saw some money from them. Let me take a few minutes to run through my figures here to see if I can find it. They have not contributed that much in this campaign.
Okay. Do we know Daniel Newman about?
I don't have those as them as a major donor here for the.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. They gave $300,000 for No on 30.
Yeah. So they're not even going after the Molly Munger tax initiative, just
no.
Governor Brown's. Yeah.
Right.
That's interesting. We'd mentioned the Mungers here, giving a lot of money into this into these initiatives. David,
unbelievable amounts of
yeah.
money.
But it's not only what we're talking about is her initiative, which is sometimes I get confused with my neurons here in terms of identifying. That's Proposition 38, the Molly Munger tax plan. But her brother, who is a libertarian, also a physicist at Stanford, has been putting a lot of money into other initiatives.
Yes, mostly into support 32 and oppose Proposition 30. And he's also put some money into support Proposition 40, which would keep the districts drawn by the Citizens Redistricting Committee.
And let's go to more calls. Dominique joins us. Dominique, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
My comment is just that it's really silly to me that all this money gets pumped into paying for ads when the real issue is people don't have jobs. And $350 million is a lot of money and could do a lot of good to help these people who really need it out there.
Well said, and we thank you for that. We will continue, obviously, to talk about campaign spending even after the election. It is a major issue and continues to loom as a major issue, not only here in California, but nationwide. For those of you listening to us on Sirius, I'm sure you realize that probably there aren't many states that are comparable to California in this whole initiative realm, but nevertheless, money has become, I think most of us would agree, too much a part of politics, except those, of course, who have interest in making their money work for them. Daniel Newman, thank you for joining us. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Michael.
Daniel Newman is president and co-founder of MapLight. They're a nonpartisan research organization that tracks money's influence on politics. And people can find out a lot of information by going to your website, which is?
VotersEdge.org. It's the antidote
Say it again,
to that.
I'm sorry.
Sure, it's VotersEdge.org. We call it the antidote to the ads.
And then Ravel, thank you for being with us. And Ravel joined us from the state capitol. She's chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission. Want to give your website, if you would.
If you just go on fppc.ca.gov, you can find us.
And it's good to find because there is a lot of information there as well. We thank you for being with us, both of you. We thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer today is Howard Gelman, and our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. We also want to thank our interns, Bradley Davis, Reva Gold, Nora McCartan, and Gina Shalaba. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. Another hour of Forum coming up, and it's an hour all about art. We're going to talk about a couple of new exhibits at the Museum of Modern Art, and we're also going to find out all about Art Murmur, which is now turning out in Oakland thousands of people. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.